Welcome back to another episode of Bless the She That Believe. This is season 3, episode 39. Whew, y'all. So, before we get started, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for, Father, just being who you are, Father. Thank you for everything you do for us on a regular, Father God. Father, I thank you for this equipment working properly. I thank you, Father God, that there is no distractions, there's no interference, there's no disturbances or anything as your word goes forth, Father God. Father, I pray for your vessel. I pray that you use her, Father God, mightily, Lord, to deliver your word unadulterated. Father God, I pray right now for each and every ear and every heart that hears your word. Father, I pray that the hearts are ready to receive what you have for them. Father God, I thank you right now that your word is life to us, Father God, Lord, because in you we move and breathe and have our very being. So, Father, I thank you right now that this word does not fall on deaf ears. I thank you right now, Father God, that no hearts are hardened as they listen to this word, Father God. Keep their hearts soft, Father God. Remove the hearts of stone and replace them with the heart of flesh, Father God. Lord, transform the lives of those who listen to this message, Father God, whether they listen to it at 12 midnight Monday morning or if they listen to it in 10 years, Father God, transform their lives. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. So yeah, I had some technical difficulties, had to restart the computer, had to do all this stuff to get this thing to work, and I think my volume is back right now. I don't even know what was going on with that, so praise God. we need to just pray. We just need to be praying without ceasing, especially coming up this week. I'm not gonna lie, like, I'm not trying to get into politics or anything on here. I just want to talk about the word of God, but I can't help but think about how things are getting ready to change and the days that I could hear it, like the days that we have known, it won't be like that no more. We're not to live in fear. We are to live boldly, courageously for Christ, for the kingdom of God. However, we also need to be cognizant and watchful, knowing the times that we're in. Tuesday is election day here in the United States. And to be honest, I encourage everyone to go out and cast their vote. But honestly, it doesn't, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter who wins or anything. I don't have a better way to say that. What I'm saying is, no matter who wins, that's what I want to say. No matter who wins, life just is not going to be like back to business, like how our elections have been in the past, where, okay, we voted, okay, this candidate won, is back to business. It's not going to be like that anymore. It's not. So just be prayerful. We don't, like I said, we don't live in fear. We don't. We know who sits on the throne. It doesn't matter who sits in the White House. We know who sits on the throne. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. However, we are not to take things lightly. So we just need to be praying for one another. That's all I'm gonna say about that. But I call this episode The Haman Effect. Now, oh Lord, let's see. The Haman Effect. I have to give you background information about Haman. Haman, you're going to hear me clicking a couple of times because I had to get my scripture back up because I had to restart my computer. Y'all pray for me to get a new computer. I love my computer. I love my little laptop. Like, I've had this laptop, I don't know how many years. Don't even get me to lie, but, you know. Yep. But I praise God that he keeps things. You know, he kept the children of Israel in the wilderness. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never tore up. Like, it's all of that walking they did, their stuff never wore out. So I thank God for what he has blessed me with to use to minister to everyone. Like, this, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't using my laptop before this. I barely used it. Now I'm using it, and every week, and it's been a blessing to me, and I pray it's been a blessing to y'all. Let's see. I'm trying to get all of this together. So, that's in there twice. I'm sorry, y'all. I got distracted. Anyway, what I was going to say is the Haman effect. Okay, so we're going to be in the book of Esther a little bit. And Esther, I love the story of Esther. There's actually a movie called One Night with the King. I have fallen in love with that movie. I don't know how many times I have watched that movie. But I watched that movie like several thousand times. It's so good. And it tells the story of Esther. And the background story, Esther's the only book in the Bible that does not mention God. However, we do realize that they were in a ungodly culture, and Esther ended up marrying King Ahasuerus, or I can't, you know, him. Xerxes is the other name. She ended up marrying him, although her lineage, she was Jewish. And her uncle Mordecai, or her cousin Mordecai, he was also Jewish, and he was a scribe. So he had a high position in the king's court, basically. But there's this guy named Haman. Now, Haman, in chapter 3, we get some background. King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Now, I know y'all heard me like breaking the words apart. So his mama was an Agagite, okay? What is an Agagite? Well, if you remember back during King Saul's reign in Israel, King Saul was told by Samuel to kill King Agag, okay? He was told to kill him. And not only kill him, he was supposed to decimate every single thing. Nothing was supposed to live, right? Well, your boy King Saul, King Saul didn't follow directions, okay? He didn't follow directions. King Saul decided to do some other stuff. He decided to do it himself, like the way he wanted to. And so I'm looking for it. Y'all give me a second. Give me like 2 seconds, y'all, because I've lost it. Let's see. It was I like to say it exactly how the Bible says it. So, okay. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. I was like, I know it's in 1 Samuel. Why can't I find it? So, give me a second. Let me get there. All right. Says, yep. So, I'm trying to get to the part where he was given instructions to destroy everything. Okay. In verse 1, this is 1 Samuel chapter 15. It says, Samuel is the prophet. Remember, Samuel, his mama was Hannah, and she was praying for him, and she gave him back to the Lord, and he sat under Eli, who was the temple priest. I'm probably saying that wrong, but I believe, I think Eli was a temple priest. So, yeah, he was under his tutelage and stuff like that. So, we're not going to look for that. We're not going to look for that. I'm like, is he the temple priest? He was the prophet. I know his sons were priests and they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. Cause the Lord wiped out Eli and both his sons. Like, he wiped that whole line out, and that was a whole crazy thing. But, and the crazy thing about it is Samuel had to tell Eli what the Lord was telling him. He had to tell Eli, like, look, the Lord said, because you didn't do what you were supposed to do with your sons, he gonna take all y'all out. And Samuel had been under Eli. You know what I'm saying? Like, how the student gonna tell the teacher, the Lord is done with you? But that's what happened. So Samuel took Eli's place as far as being the king's prophet. And Samuel anointed Saul as king. And so basically Samuel is talking to Saul. He said, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. So listen to the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. God wanted total destruction. He wanted to, like, decimate the place. Nothing is to live. Saul just, you know, let me tell you something. I used to get mad at Saul. I used to be like, this dummy. But you know how many times I've been Saul? This is not part of the podcast, but this was not the lesson for today. But how many times have I have been Saul? I don't know how many times. I can't even count on. I ain't got enough fingers or toes to count how many times I've been Saul. God told me to do something and I want to do extra stuff. Just like I told y'all with the podcast, the Lord said, go get a microphone. Your girl get a microphone and some headphones that I still hadn't. I'm looking at them right now. They still like brand new. They wireless. That's not even what I needed. If I was going to get a headset or headphones, I should have got the ones. It doesn't matter because God didn't tell me to go get those. He told me to get a microphone. That's it. I came out with some headphones and a microphone. But then talking about I ain't got no money. Because you spent the money, extra money on stuff that you ain't need. So, see, even in that small thing, acting like Saul, being disobedient, because that's not what God asked me. God said, do this. We got to go do that and then add some extra. So that's a freebie right there. That's a whole lesson right there within itself. Anyway, so Saul in verse 8. Well, let's say Saul in verse 7 smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur. That is over against Egypt. In verse 8, he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Why, Saul? Why? and utterly destroy all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. So all the ugly stuff, all the stuff that wasn't the best, the most beautiful, they destroyed it. But they kept all of the best things. That's not what God said to do. God said destroy all of it. Decimate, total destruction. No, nope, nope, nope. So verse number 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when I see that, it's like, how many times have I grieved the Lord? Like, how many has the Lord ever said it repented me to have Stephanie on earth? Like, oh my gosh, the thought of that is just like, she don't follow my commandments. She don't do nothing I tell her to do. And it grieves me. And it makes me want to repent for making, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, oh my gosh. So Samuel comes to Saul about this whole situation. And now the Lord done spoke to Samuel and told him, what's up? This is why you can't play with people with discernment. This is why. So Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You lying. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Saul says, oh, praise God, man of God. Ain't God good all the time? All the time, blessed and highly favored. Yes, yes, I have done everything the Lord commanded me to do. And Samuel says to Saul, okay, if that was true, then why do I hear the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the cat of the oxen? Why I hear animals? What you been doing? Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep. You see how he putting the accountability off on the people? You're the king, sir. You're the king. You're in charge. The people have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord that God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, the thing is, if I paid you to paint my house, but you mow my lawn and fix my fence that's out there in the back that need to be fixed, did you do what I asked you to do? No, you didn't. You did some good stuff, but that's not what I asked you to do. Same situation. And then he blamed it on the people. The people brought them. I ain't had to do it. The people brought them. You the king. You're the king, sir. Good sir, you're the king. You know, okay. Verse 16, then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell you what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said in verse 17, when you were little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And he, and so when Samuel turned away from Saul, Saul grabbed his skirt, you know, the clothes they wore and stuff, and it rent. And as soon as it did it, Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. Agag, like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm gonna come in here lightly. I'm just coming here and sit down and not touch anything. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. Why you gotta talk, sir? Why you gotta talk? And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. That is sad. That is sad. But check this though. The very next chapter, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. It happens just like that. In Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7. For God is judge. For promotion comes not from the east, the west, or the south. But God is judge. He set down one and put up another. I think I said that right. Yeah. For promotion comes not from the east, the west, or the south. But God is judge. He set down one and put up another. And that's what we're going to talk about. Now, I gave you all that background context so you would know. Haman is an Agagite. What you mean? King Agag was slain. He was hewn into pieces. Well, obviously somebody got away. Somebody got away because they kept the line going. So Haman is a descendant of King Agag's because he's an Agagite. Yeah. Clock that. As the children would say. All right. So he's an Agagite. So that means somebody lived and was able to carry the line on. And they hated the Israelites. They hated the children of Israel. So now you got Haman and the king, I don't want to get into all of it because I had to take time to give you the context of where we're coming from. But King Ahasuerus or King Xerxes, he promoted Haman and advanced him basically and set his seat above all the princes that were with him and all the king's servants. We're back in Esther chapter 3, verse 2. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Mordecai was like, I'm not bowing to no man. I only bow to the one true God. He's not God. So I'm not bowing. Well, them people went and reported Mordecai to Haman. Haman got mad. In verse 5, when he saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence that, then was Haman full of wrath. And he thought scorn to lay hands on Mordecai alone, for they had showed him the people of Mordecai. Wherefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. So Haman from that point set a plan in action or in motion to kill the children, of Israel, the Jews that were in the city that were under the control of this king. But the plan did not work. If you read Esther, you'll find out like Mordecai literally had gallows built to hang Haman on. But every time he set a trap for Haman, the Lord circumvented the whole thing. It never worked out. Never worked out. And the reason why I'm bringing this stuff up is because this is a prime example of how when the Lord elevates you, when the Lord elevates you, everybody's not happy about that. Everybody isn't happy when you get a promotion on the job. Everybody's not happy. And it's like, I gotta share this, but people from my hometown be listening to my podcast. They listen to my podcast. So it's like, how can I say this? But I'm just gonna say it. I mean, it's true. Y'all know I work two jobs. So basically both of them, I got moved into a different position. And everybody's not happy that I was moved into these positions. Like, and one position is not really a promotion. It's just I'm still doing what I do, but I just do it on a different level. I'll say, I'm not trying to get into too many specifics because it's like, I don't need that smoke when I go to work. But I mean, it's the truth. I'll say this, everybody's friendly with you when they think they're above you, when they think they have an upper hand on where you, like people, when they feel like they have, when they're sitting higher than you in a position, they'll be friendly with you. It's no problem because they think you're beneath them. And you may not see it, but when you get a promotion, get on their level, be promoted to their level where they are. You're going to see some stuff. Y'all, I have been seeing some stuff. And I'm like, what is going on? You was just, hey, how you doing? We kicking it, laughing, shooting the breeze, you know, just chuck, laugh, you know, no. The promotion is always going to reveal the enemy. The elevation will reveal the enemy. This is called the Haman effect. That's why I was just like, Lord, I heard the Haman effect. This is called the Haman effect. And you got to watch these people who change. Their smiles turn into a grimace, not a frown, but sometimes it can be a frown, but it turns into a grimace where they barely want to speak to you. Or now they want to try and boss you and tell you how to do the job. But you weren't even doing your job. You was barely doing what you was doing. You know why they do that? It's because they're intimidated. Because now they got to get on their game. Because see, the whole time they thought that they were above you, they were watching you. They were paying attention to you. Listen, Samuel went, and I'm glad I actually went into chapter 16 of 1 Samuel because that's where he anoints David as king. David goes from the sheepfold, from shepherding sheep to fighting on the battlefield with Goliath, to going back to the sheepfold, being called to the palace to play music for King Saul. Because King Saul now, because God is not on his side, because he has already said, nah, you ain't the king no more. God ain't speaking to him. He don't have the presence of the Lord. Samuel ain't coming to see him no more, nothing. So he's being tormented by an evil spirit. The only way that this can be pacified is if music is playing. And David was recommended by the servants of Saul. Hey, we know this dude, he's a bad like musician. Like he does some work on them keys, you know what I'm saying? Like, so they go tell he fetches David from the field. See, sometimes like I know we would have wanted the story to be David, you know, comes from the sheepfold. He comes from the field attending the sheep to the battlefield, taking out Goliath, and then he go right to the palace. Nah, sometimes the Lord will only give us a preview and we got to go back and keep doing what we're doing. I don't know how long it took David to get to the palace. I don't know. I mean, kill Goliath. Then he went back out to the fields. I don't know what that time frame was from him being in the fields until the servants were sent to go get him to play for Saul, to be his musician. I don't know how long that was. It could have been 5 years. It could have been 10 years. Who knows? Can you imagine? You did this great thing. People singing songs about you. You know, like Saul slaying his thousands, David, his 10,000. You know what I'm saying? Like people singing songs and stuff about you, and you got to be back out here in the field. Talking about humble. That's humbling. Who knows? Maybe the Lord was like, you ain't ready to go to the palace yet. You got to go back to them fields because you something. I see something starting to rise up in you. So sometimes our elevation is a process. It can happen overnight if that's God's will for your life. So don't get discouraged when it's like you have peaks and then, you know, you drop back down. It's like a wave. Don't get upset with that, because obviously the Lord allows you to come out for people to see you for your encouragement, but then he got to take you back to the field. So you don't get too high-minded. He got to take you back to the field so you can stay grounded. Because if he just goes ahead and elevates you, wherever he's elevating you, wherever he's taking you, it can actually cause you to fall away from his presence. It could cause you to sin. You know what I'm saying? And he doesn't want that. So that's why sometimes our elevation comes in waves, comes in stages. So David finally gets to the palace. But here's the thing. Even though he was elevated, he had to be on guard. Sometimes our elevation causes us, we got to go through warfare with that elevation, because we got these new demons on this level. I heard Joyce Meyer say, new level, new devil. Every level you have is a new devil. Like, we got, David is playing music for Saul. Saul picks up a javelin and throws it at David. David happens to be paying attention. He watching him. Can you imagine you playing worship music? And you worshiping, you crying, maybe probably playing worship music. And then you also got to be on alert because the enemy is out to get you while you worshiping. Oh, it's raining outside. I didn't know. It just rain hitting the window, wind blowing and everything. but you worshiping and you still got to keep your eye out for the enemy. I mean, Saul, and that wasn't the first time. It was more than once where Saul would throw stuff at trying to kill him. You don't have any peace. David eventually had to run away and hide from Saul. Saul went chasing. Like, it was crazy. Talk about toxic. But God promised David, anointed David as king. He anointed him as king. Sometimes, like, people don't realize the anointing. Some people claim they're anointed and everything. No. I'm not going to say you not. I'm not going to sit here and say what, but I know people who are anointed. I know anointing when I see it, because anointing means you went through something, because that's the only way you can get the anointing. To be anointed during this time period, oil had to be poured. And that oil usually came from olives, unless it was something else that I'm not sure. I wasn't taught. But the oil came from olives. How do you get the oil from an olive? It has to be pressed. It's got to be pushed. You have to, in order to get the anointing, you got to be pressed. You have to go through something to get that oil on your life. So for people to sit here and say they're anointed, but you hadn't gone through anything, it's hard for me to understand where the anointing came from. Where you got you have counterfeit oil. Cause you must have went to the store and bought it. Just like the five wise and five foolish virgins. The five wise virgins had oil in their lamp already. That's totally symbolic. Because we're supposed to be the light. So therefore, we got the oil in us. The other ones had to go to the store and buy theirs because they ain't have none. You can't buy, you can't manufacture an anointing. You can't do it. You just can't manufacture anointing. You're anointed. You're going to go through some stuff. Mordecai went through some stuff. Haman put a hit out on all the Jews because he was mad because one refused to bow to him because he had such a hatred instilled in him because he is a descendant of Agag who was chopped into pieces by Samuel the prophet because Saul didn't do his job. So now this hatred has been passed on to Haman. Now Haman want to take a hit out on all the Jews. It's his time to get rid of all of them. And Mordecai, he had something special planned for him. He planned to take him out on the gallows he built in the back of his house. This man had gallows in the back of his house built just for this one dude. There are some people who have a special trap set up for you. They're crafting it right now. Right now, people on your job, it's some evil people out here. And when you think about it, it's like you had nothing else better to do than to plan for my downfall. You literally are sitting there thinking about me and how you gonna take me out. And I'm over here sleeping in my bed. You up at 3-4 o'clock in the morning trying to figure out how you can get me. But I'm over here sleep on the cool side of the pillow, as they say. There are some people who you are on their mind right now and they are trying to figure out how they can take you down. They trying to figure out a lie that they can catch you in. They trying to figure everything out. But I got something for that. Psalm 18, y'all, Psalm 18 and Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 are the same thing. I want to say it's 2 Samuel 22 because it was the 2-2-2 for me. It's the same thing. Okay. And I will say this, you need to read it. If you have a problem, like your enemy is coming against you, read this word and read it. Not just one time, just constantly read it. Let it be a part of your daily prayer life. Pray the word of God. Like, I'll just read a little bit. Psalm 18 verse 37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For you have girded me with strength unto the battle. You have subdued under me those that rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed place. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from my enemies. Yea, you liftest me up above those that rise up against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Y'all, David wrote this. That's like one of my favorite, like, it's one of my favorite Psalms, and it's one of my favorite chapters in the Old Testament because it's in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Like, David laid it, he poured it all out. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like hinds feet. And setteth me upon my high places. Y'all, David wrote this. I wonder who he was talking about. Oh my goodness. Like, y'all, because they're going to come. The word of God says the enemy's going to come against you one way. And he's going to have to flee before you seven ways. I'm telling you, I have seen it. I had one person telling me, when I got moved into a different position And I'm gonna tell you how I got the position. I didn't have to, y'all, that has been my testimony for a lot of the jobs that I work. I didn't have to interview for them. That is the Lord. And it was the right time, and it was the Lord. His hand was all in it. I did not have to interview for it. They actually came and asked me, "Do you want to do this?" Okay. All right. Cool. Praise God. Something new. You know, like, it still work. You know, I'm trying to be a stay-at-home person. That's my goal, is to be a stay-at-home person and work from home. But for right now, the Lord has me where he has me. And so, yeah, now one of the people, well, you need to do this, this, and this. And you need to do, and see, this right here is mine. I sit here. Baby, I don't care where I sit. I can go sit in my car and do my work. It don't matter where I sit. I'm still going to do my job. Like, why are you just, a couple of months ago, it was, come sit next to me. What are you doing? What you, well, so-and-so, you sit over there because I sit here. I don't care. I'll sit on the floor crisscross applesauce. I really don't care. I almost said that the other day, and I had to catch us. Because it's funny to me, because it's like, when you have the Lord, you get his eyes. I always pray for discernment and to see what he needs me to see. And so now seeing this is like, and I'm chill as a cucumber. Like, I'm just chilling. This person fretting, constantly asking me questions, trying to figure out what I'm doing, trying to put me in my place. You can't, first of all, let's get something straight. There's no place where you can put me that the Lord does not allow. So let's just get that straight. You can try to put me in my place or where you think I need to be placed, but if that's not God's will for my life, then you can't do that. You don't have any authority over where I am. See, you can't talk like that if you ain't been in the Word. You can't talk like that if you ain't got the boldness of Christ. And granted, I'm very respectful because I have been in positions like this before, and the people that ended up working around me, they caused a curse on their own self because of how they were treating me. So I make sure I do my best. I pray for the people I work with. I pray and I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, because I know and I have seen when people have come against me, and it's nothing, it's not, it has nothing to do with who I am, but it has everything to do with, they're messing with somebody who the Lord has put in this position. Like, you don't mess with the people of God. And to be honest, I try to stay away from saying stuff like that, because some people have taken it out of context and they say it in a boastful way. Like, oh, you can't mess with me. I'm God's anointed. You ain't supposed to be putting your hands on God's anointed. Baby, you don't even go to church. Like, and when I say you don't go to church, like, you don't even turn the TV on. Okay. You don't even read your Bible. Like, sit down, please. Okay. Sit down. The only scripture you know is Jesus wept. And that's a good scripture. That's is Holy Ghost filled and breathed on. I'm just saying, that's it. No judgment. I'm just saying, it's a little hard. Your credibility there. Okay. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, people take stuff and run with it and use it because it's a cliche phrase to them. And I don't like saying that, because I know what I just did last week. I know I just had them thoughts last week, thoughts yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't deserve God's protection, but he still covers me and I'm grateful. So I do what I pray for my enemies, and I don't pray, God, take them out. No, I pray, God, Lord, show them the mercy and grace that you extended to me. Show that to them, because they don't know no better, because I know what can happen. I have seen God, y'all. I have seen Psalm 73. I saw the wicked spreading himself like a Green Bay tree. And when I turned to look again, I ain't see him no more. If that ain't the truth, I have seen that in my own life. I have seen it. And it ain't pretty. I don't want that for them. I don't want that for them. And these people who don't know the Lord, they don't proclaim Christ. They don't know any better. So, yeah, the Haman effect. They're subject to allowing the enemy to use them, and they end up cursing their own life. So unless they get Jesus, unless they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, they have no hope. They have no hope. And when you really think about it, I get sad because it's like you tormented. And it's like you literally see them like pacing and walking, like they have no control over what they're doing. And it's sad. And it's like, I just think about the verse in New Testament. Don't get me the line to where it is. Such were some of you. Just that phrase, and such were some of you. I used to be like that. Used to get intimidated when somebody gets into the same position that I used to get intimidated. Why am I? You don't have to be intimidated. This table big enough for all of us to eat. What you getting intimidated for? Like, you need Jesus. And if you're a believer and you getting intimidated because the Lord moved somebody, you need to get back in your word and realize he might have moved that person there because he getting ready to move you somewhere else. Huh. Because let's think about it. Who tended the sheep when David left? We don't know, but guess what? The sheep still had to be tended to. So the Lord is not going to move you into another position until somebody's there to cover your position that you're currently in. He's not going to leave a void. That's not how he operates. So when somebody comes in, just know it's about time for you to go. Bars. Just know it's almost your time. It's almost your time. Yeah. See, King Saul, the Lord had already dismissed him from being king. The Lord was like, I ain't even paying, you ain't king no more in my eyes. This boy right here, David, is king. David was right there with Saul until David had to leave because Saul was chasing him, tried to kill him again. But David was right there. Saul replaced him, and Saul knew he was the replacement. That's why he kept trying to kill him. He knew he was the replacement. But see, Saul didn't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the presence of God. So when it's somebody who doesn't know the Lord, they're going to try and kill the promise in you. When it's somebody who knows the Lord, they're going to be joyful because they know it's almost their time to be elevated too. See, that's why, like, when you know Jesus, you can't get jealous or feel some kind of way. I mean, we are humans. We are in the flesh, you know. But you got to realize when people in your circle start moving and shifting, the Lord getting ready to move and shift you too. You ain't got to try and set people up for their downfall. You ain't got to try and build no gallows in your backyard to take people out. You ain't got to do none of that. The Lord sees you. He going to move you. It's like playing chess. He going to move you in his time. When it's the right time to move you, he going to move you. He going to elevate you. You ain't got to do none of that guessing work. Like, you ain't got to try and go. You don't have to try and go look and make things happen on your own. That's where we fall into trouble. That's where we fall into trouble. We'll talk about that in Sunday school today. With Rebecca. I get all them people mixed up. Because you have Abraham and Sarah. Then you have Isaac. And it wasn't Rebecca. It was Isaac and Rebecca. And then you had Rachel and Jacob. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. All of them people. I can't keep up with them. All them names. Anyway. The twins' mama. I think that was Rachel. Or was it Rebecca? Now I gotta go find it. Doggone it. Now I gotta go find it. It's like, who are these people? Okay. Let's see. Rebecca. It was Rebecca and Isaac. There we go. I can't keep up with the name. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Rebecca. Rachel and Leah. Okay, there we go. Rachel and Leah. Then you got Rebecca, Jacob. Okay, there we go. Now, sorry, I had to get them. Had to get them straight. Anyway, Sunday school. Sorry, I got distracted. Sunday school. We were talking about families and favoritism in families and stuff. And classic tale, Rebecca and Isaac. And the Sunday school teacher, she asked, why do we think Rebecca favored Jacob over Esau? And people were giving their answers. And I raised my hand and I said, I believe just from reading the scriptures, Rebecca favored Jacob because the Lord spoke to her while she was pregnant with Jacob and Esau. And she probably saw more of the promise in Jacob than in Esau. So that's why she favored Jacob rather than Esau. Not that she didn't love her son Esau, but she knew what the Lord told her. So therefore she was trying to make it happen in her own terms. Like the Lord spoke to you about that, but it's not going to happen the way you think it's going to happen. You know, and that was my answer. And I think that happens with us when it comes to being elevated and promoted. We think it's going to happen one way, and the Lord does something completely out of the realm of our sphere of understanding, and that throws us off. And then we get anxiety, we get fear. Okay, God isn't going to do what he said he's going to. No. He's doing it the way he's going to do it because he has plans for us that we don't know of. We can't think like him. His ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Like, we can't know who knows the mind of God? Who knows the mind of the Lord? I don't. I know I don't. And every time I try to take it in my own hands and do it myself, I have messed everything up and he has to come and fix it. I know he's sick of me. I already told y'all, he said, don't ask me for another confirmation. Like, not in this season. Do not ask me for another confirmation because he's sick of me. Like, if you would just do the simple thing, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways and he would direct your path. That is simple. But we make the simple stuff hard because it's like, oh, I'm going to do it in my own. How are you going to do it in your own way and you don't even know your way? He knows our ways and our thoughts before we do. Okay, I'm done. Because that was for me. All of that was for me. I had someone purchase a shirt. I just told my mama this. I had someone purchase a hoodie off of my website. And like, y'all, I'm a teacher. I don't have no money yet. I don't have no money yet to put up front for any of this stuff. But someone purchased the hoodie off my website, and of course it's going through a third party source, so I don't have to touch any of that stuff. It just goes out or whatever. And the thing is, I caught myself getting mad and this is the first purchase off my new website with the merchandise, you know, that the Lord gave me the design for it. So instead of being happy and like, yes, somebody bought something, I got mad and started complaining. And I had to check myself, like, hold up. Instead of being mad, because the money came out my account, and I was like, I wasn't ready for that to come out my account yet. I got to make sure I got money in my account. So instead of, you know, rejoicing, like, praise God, somebody bought something, I'm sitting here complaining. Why? The Lord told you to do it. He going to take care of it. If the Lord told you he going to elevate you, he going to promote you, he's going to... If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Stop talking about you ain't got no money. And that was the thing. Like, I had to tell myself, get a small business loan. Get $500 and pay that mess off. Like, but just have the money in your account. But don't sit here and be mad because somebody, that is the Lord. Like, just get it done. Like, quit complaining and get the stuff done that the Lord told you to get done. He's going to bring it back and give you triple the amount of what you thought you was missing out. Like, y'all, I wanted to pull the stuff off my website. Like, I can't have nobody buy nothing yet. I ain't got no money. How you supposed to get the money? Wait, how you supposed to get it? It's, you know, like, just crazy stuff. Basically, what I'm saying is, when the Lord speaks to you and tells you, because I'm not going to say if, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you X, Y, Z, just do it. Just do it and trust him. He said he going to promote you. He said he going to, you blessed going in and coming out. Believe that, because that's his word. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. The Holy Spirit will not lie to you. The Lord is not going to sit up there. Oh, I ain't never lied in all the history of man. I'm going to lie with this person right here. I'm going to tell him a lie. What make you, first of all, he's not going to do that. Second of all, why would you be that special that he would choose you out of everybody else? You ain't that, like, don't trust me. Hear what I'm saying. You special, but you ain't that special. That you would be the first person in all of history that the Lord would lie to? Like, come on. Like, get out of here. Get out of here. Like, he's not going to lie. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Like, that's crazy. Why? It's like we don't trust in the simple things. Like, this ain't even part of the, this ain't even, whatever. I'm just going to roll with it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Like, if we would just trust him in the simple things. And it's like, he keeps trying to show us that we can trust him, but we're so busy trying to do it on our own that he's like, I don't have a place. How can he win our hearts when, one, our hearts aren't turned to him, and two, when we keep trying to make it happen on our own? We don't allow him to pursue us. Woo! It's like a man trying to pursue an independent woman. You so independent that you not letting this man step up and do what he say he gonna do. If he said he gonna do it, what? Sit there and wait and watch him do it. No, we so busy. Okay, you taking too long. Let me go do it myself. My gosh. Oh my gosh. And that's why we got a whole generation of independent women who want to, and I'm one of them. So don't sit here and think I'm being, no, I'm one of them. And the Holy Spirit gave it to me just like that. You not allowing me to pursue you. You so busy doing it on your own terms and on your own time because you think I'm taking too long. I'm trying to woo you. I'm trying to pursue you and you're not allowing me to do it. You won't let me pursue you. So therefore you don't trust me. My gosh. A real gentleman takes his time. He makes sure everything's right. He makes sure everything's in line because he doesn't want any mistakes. He wants to make sure everything is perfect for you when you walk in. Wow. We got to go on that because that. Whoo, my gosh. Okay. All right. I'm just telling you how I heard it. We don't let the Lord pursue us enough, and therefore we don't develop the trust. If we would allow the Lord to pursue us and show us that he means business concerning us, that he loves us, that he wants to shower us in his presence, in his glory. Like if we would allow him to do what he said he's going to do, we would then be able to walk in that trust and know that no matter what the circumstance or situation, our God got us. But we won't let him pursue us because we're so busy trying to make it happen on our own. So therefore we take away what he's trying to do. That's how we get in trouble. Y'all, I got to go. I ain't got time. Y'all not going to have me sitting over here the whole time. Thank you, Lord. So I hope y'all have a great week. And pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. I know some of y'all are like flinching at that, but let that word hit you. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you. Pray for them. And pray for them with a clean heart, with a pure heart, without any grudges. And I know that's hard, but do it anyway, because that's what the Lord commands us to do. Y'all have a great week, and I'll talk to y'all later. Love you. Bye.